WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new week on the program. Almost said happy Monday, but it is Tuesday after the Memorial Day weekend. And we do have some breaking news to start off the program with this morning. There was a shooting last night that occurred in New Bedford about 9 o'clock last night, just about 9:10. And we just received an update just a few moments ago from the Bristol County District Attorney's Office that it was a fatal shooting. We had the story up early this morning at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app without any information about the victim's condition, but the police had referred all further inquiries to the Bristol County District Attorney's Office, which is usually an indication that it was a fatal shooting, and that was what happened. So last night at about 9:10 p.m., New Bedford Police and EMS responded to the area of Bedford Street and South 7th Street for shots fired. And upon arrival, first responders located a 21-year-old male identified as Kimberl Gideon of New Bedford on the sidewalk suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. He was transported to a local hospital, the St. Luke's Hospital, where he was pronounced deceased a short time later. So we will give you any further updates on that as we get them. But right now, the investigation is extremely active and ongoing, according to New Bedford Police. So we can talk about that. We can talk about whatever else is on your mind. We can talk about how your Memorial Day went. Did you get a chance to go out and take part in some of these remembrance ceremonies? Did you catch the parade? I slept in because I'd spent the entire weekend at Boston Calling and was out pretty late on Sunday night. So I slept in, and then I had a big piece of furniture I had to move. I had purchased I guess it must be an entertainment center. It looks vintage, but it's not, because it's got holes in the back for wires to go through. And so it is vintage looking, we'll call it. And I saw it at Savers, and I said this would make a great bar. I've been looking for something to store all the great stuff I've been getting at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And so I bought it for $21 and then didn't really think about how I was going to move it into my apartment. So my brother helped me yesterday, and I thank him for that. He's probably listening. Thank you for, after your long day of work and being stuck in traffic coming home from the Cape on Memorial Day, thank you for stopping by and helping me if I didn't say it enough yesterday. So now it looks really cool. It's got the Dark Arts bottles on the top, and I was able to pull out, I had in storage my grandfather's lamp from his bar, and it's a guy with a bowling ball standing in front of a lamppost that says bar on the light. And I've had it in storage for years. Never really put it on display, and then finally put it out because now I've got the perfect thing for it. So did you get a chance to go to Boston Calling? If you want to call in and let me know what you thought about it this year, 508-996-0500. Some of our lucky winners were there. And it was a little bit different this year because they had some problems in 2024 with overcrowding. Chapel Roan played last year, and people were not, I guess the event organizers were not prepared for how popular she was going to be because she was still an emerging artist at that time. But all of a sudden, you know, way more people arrived in the area of that stage than expected. I think she was on the red stage. So this year what they did is they combined the red and the green stage into one stage. So they had all of that area for those major acts. And then the blue stage area was a little bit smaller. Actually, a lot smaller, but smaller. But the couple of acts that I saw over there, you know, didn't even fill up all of that space. Friday obviously was raining the whole time, so that was less attended than Saturday and Sunday. It was also country night. So for the second year in a row, they made the Friday night country night. And I don't know how smart that is. I think it's better to stagger the acts of different styles throughout the course of the day. Because what happens is, you know, you got a bunch of people that don't care about country music that aren't going to buy a 3-day pass because they don't want to go Friday. And there was a lot of complaints that they've got less top-tier talent there, which on the other side of it kept ticket prices lower. So I don't know. I can see it both ways. But it was a lot of fun. Got to see the Black Crowes for the first time in person, the Spin Doctors, Dave Matthews Band for the first time in person. I've always wanted to see them. Got to see Public Enemy. Always wanted to see them. And Tom Morello. I saw some smaller acts, some Boston-based acts that I had never heard of that were really good, and some other national acts that I hadn't heard of that was really pretty good. So time well spent, even though the weather wasn't great on Friday, and I was like, oh, man, my shoes are never going to dry out. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. So somebody got shot.
Yes.
I was working late last night, and I was heading home, and I went to turn up Bedford Street, and there's a State Trooper SUV parked there, and I went around him. As I went around him, I realized that the road, the street was taped off. And so then I went around the corner and headed home. And as I was walking over to my house, I saw a cop walking around. He had a German Shepherd on a leash, and he was going through every single yard. So I guess they were looking for somebody. And so is the person dead or is the person alive? Or
the victim passed away from their injuries.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, man.
21-year-old Kimberl Gideon of New Bedford.
This is bad news. That's a block away from my house, and it's always quiet there. We never seem to have any problems. It's just, that's too bad. That's sad. And so they're still looking for the person, I assume?
As far as we know, they haven't made any announcement about anybody being in custody. They said the investigation is ongoing, so hopefully what you saw was them tracking somebody down and that they were able to catch them.
Boy, that's too bad. All right, well, thanks. I appreciate the update, and hang in there, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Have a good day. And we will certainly keep you up to date with anything that comes in as a result of that. Generally, I can tell you, you know, what'll happen is I was surprised that we got an update from the Bristol County District Attorney's Office so early. Usually that came in just before 6. I'm trying to look and see if I can find the time here. Yeah, just before 6:15. And so that was, you know, surprising to me because usually we get updates from the DA's office once they go into work, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. And then we got the first report of the shots fired last night at 10:20. So Assistant Deputy Chief Carolla, you know, up late putting out that update. And so we'll, if there is any update to that, if there has been an arrest, we'll probably get that, you know, when he or Holly Huntoon come into work, probably in a couple of hours. But if we don't hear anything, that means they're still searching for the suspect. And I was actually surprised. So if you look at, I mean, and again, I don't want to take someone's murder and, well, homicide, I guess murder would be an official charge, but someone's homicide, and turn that into, you know, a discussion about police press availability. But here we have a shots fired incident that happened at 9:10. I didn't hear about that. Nobody sent me any messages. Nobody texted me and said, hey, just heard on the scanner. Didn't hear anything from anybody. Just got the email from the police at 10:20. So a little over an hour after it occurred, we're already being notified of this incident. At 10:20 at night on a holiday evening, is this a move toward a more informative police department? So just something to keep an eye on. Obviously not the most important thing. The most important thing is capturing the person who is responsible for this. Also, programming note, tomorrow we will be joined by, well, you'll hear from Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium. She's coming to Providence, and we're going to have some information about that coming up for you, but we're going to have her join us. Actually, I'll be transparent with you. We're going to record it today because a little too early in the morning for her to join us out there on Long Island. Actually, I think she's actually on tour, so who knows where she is this morning. But she's going to join us and talk with us about what we can expect. And because we had her on the program before and talked about some of her abilities and things like that, I opened it up to my social media audience to ask some questions. So we'll ask some of those of her today as well, and we'll play that for you tomorrow. And, of course, the Eagles flyaway continues. We're going to have your codes at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. today. When you hear, I keep saying codes because I'm so used to the Money Talks contest before this. But what it really is it's an Eagles song title. So when you hear that song title at 10, 2, and 5, and it's a different one each hour, when you hear those, enter them at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app. Each one is an entry toward winning the grand prize. And you can also earn some other bonus entries on the website and on the app. On the page there where you enter in the codes, you can earn some other bonus entries by following us on Facebook and like us on Facebook, follow us on X, Twitter, whatever, and subscribe to our YouTube, subscribe to our newsletter, things like that. And you can earn bonus entries. And then each one of those entries is a shot at you winning the grand prize, which is airfare for two to Las Vegas, a two-night stay at the Venetian, $500 in spending money for while you're out there, and two tickets to see the Eagles at the Sphere in their final string of performances ever. It's going to be an amazing show, and the Sphere is just an incredible venue. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I say once-in-a-lifetime. I think they're doing five shows, so for five in a lifetime opportunity. But it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go for free and actually get some spending money while you're out there. You know, $500, you can make that last quite a bit in Las Vegas. You can also lose it in 5 minutes. It all depends on what you want to do with it. But you could certainly get yourself some nice meals out. Maybe give yourself a little VIP treatment. And, of course, it's all brought to you, the Eagles Flyaway on WBSM, by the DeMello International Center and Tank Exchange. So, again, 10, 2, and 5, those codes will be coming up today and all week long. So let me take my first break of the morning. We'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back in. That is Taylor Dane. She's actually coming to the area. Taylor Dane will be performing Saturday, July 26th at the Bally's Event Center at Lincoln, Rhode Island. The former Twin River, now Bally's. They're going to be hosting Taylor Dane. And I haven't been to that venue that they have there yet, but I've heard good things. But tickets are on sale now if you want to get those at Ticketmaster.com. Looks like still quite a few seats open. If you want to jump on that, tickets start at $44. So, and I like that they now have this like all in pricing. Ticketmaster, we can talk more about that coming up, but you now get the chance to, you know, when you buy it, they're more transparent about what the fees are, and you know what you're going to pay is what you're going to pay, and it's a lot better that way. All right, well, it's time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories on the national scene from Mike Roberts.
President Trump still after Harvard University. A Connecticut woman involved in a drug ring and millions of people dealing with severe weather.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A Connecticut woman who allegedly used her teenage daughters to package and deliver crack cocaine is going to prison.
35-year-old Nasa Vasquez Ferrer of Waterbury was sentenced in federal court after pleading guilty earlier this year to various drug charges. She allegedly worked for a drug trafficking ring and was arrested in November 2023, one of 17 people charged following an investigation led by the FBI's Waterbury Safe Streets Gang Task Force. Vasquez Ferrer is scheduled to report to federal prison on July 11th. I'm Larry Kofsky.
Authorities in Washington, D.C., say the person accused of fatally shooting two Israeli diplomats have confessed to the crime. Two embassy staff members were shot to death on a downtown street on Wednesday after attending a young diplomat's reception in Washington. The alleged gunman has been identified as 31-year-old Elias Rodriguez of Chicago. An FBI affidavit claims that when police arrived, Rodriguez stated, "I did it for Palestine and I did it for Gaza." At least 17 people reported injured after a stabbing attack at a German railway station. It happened in Hamburg around 5 p.m. local time. Officials say that four of the victims are in critical condition. Another six are injured. A suspect has been arrested and is identified as a 39-year-old German woman. The nation's fallen military service members were honored yesterday by President Trump. He visited Arlington National Cemetery to mark Memorial Day. He took part in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Before delivering remarks, Trump said that we share in the sorrow with the families of the fallen service members. He also added that service members who have given everything and asked for nothing. Millions dealing with severe weather in the plains to the southeast as people traveled back home yesterday for the Memorial Day holiday. The weekend wrapped up and the regions have been slammed with severe weather for several days, especially in Oklahoma, Missouri, and Florida. Storms also in parts of Colorado and New Mexico, all the way to South Carolina and Georgia. Two children among 11 injured in a boat explosion in South Florida. Authorities say the reported explosion and fire happened last night in Fort Lauderdale. At least one witness says they saw the boat explosion and several people brought to the docks of a yacht club with burn injuries. Several agencies were at the scene, including the U.S. Coast Guard and Fort Lauderdale Fire and Rescue. Three more inmates who escaped from a New Orleans jail earlier this month are now back in custody. Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell announced on social media that Lenton Van Buren was recaptured in Baton Rouge. Minutes later, it was reported that Jermaine Donald and Leo Tate were also caught in Walker County, Texas. Eight of the 10 inmates have now been recaptured since they broke out of the New Orleans Justice Center on May 16th. Several people have been arrested for helping the escapees.
WBSM Sports.
The Brewers beat the Red Sox in Milwaukee last night 3-2. Sox are back at it again tonight at 7:40.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good Tuesday morning, sun rising nice and early this time of the year. And as it does, temperatures will slowly warm. We start out around 50 degrees, but later this afternoon, man, oh man, does it get warm along the coast. We're looking at temperatures around 70 degrees. As you head inland, we get to the mid and even upper 70s in spots today. So enjoy the summer-like feel, especially with some sunshine as well. It's going to feel great as you're heading out the door, mostly to partly sunny as we get through this Tuesday. And as the sun sets, temperatures dip back down into the mid-50s overnight. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. Of course, that is Len, Steal My Sunshine, but there's no need to steal the sunshine. There's plenty of sunshine out there today, and the sun is shining bright. It's going to be a warm day today, 72 degrees thereabouts. Right now, though, it is 52, and I left the house in jeans. I was going to wear shorts because I know it's going to be warm later, but it was like 40-something. And I said, well, it's a little too cold for shorts, but you might, you know, if you're leaving now and heading out for your day and you're thinking, yeah, it's a shorts day. It definitely is. So, again, there was a fatal shooting in New Bedford, a homicide last night. We are awaiting more details, but we can tell you the victim was a 21-year-old man identified as Kimberl Gideon or Gideon. And we are awaiting more information from the DA's office and police regarding if there's any suspect in custody. No information was given in that regard yet, so we'll hopefully have an update for you in the next couple of hours. But we'll take your calls, 508-996-0500. I think otherwise, I mean, it seemed like it was a relatively quiet Memorial Day weekend in terms of obviously, we had the fatal crash that happened in Dartmouth. That was on Saturday, right? Saturday. So we have, you know, tragedy that did take place, but usually, you know, you keep an eye on these things in the news business and you say, you got through a weekend, a holiday weekend, without chaos, because there can be, there's many times that we've come back from holiday weekends and we've had, you know, multiple fatal crashes, multiple shots fired incidents. How do you feel about the work of the police department so far under the acting police chief, Derek Belong? I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, that they've noticed more officers out. I don't know if that's just perception or if that's reality. We have the story last week about the 22 arrests that took place downtown as an effort to clean up some of the issues with the folks that hang around near the bus station and the library and City Hall area. I don't know how much closer we are to having still have to listen to the mayor from last week. And in fact, the mayor will be here tomorrow. We'll have all new information. My whole plan was like, well, I'm going to be driving to Boston three times. Well, not Boston, but Quincy Adams. And so I can listen to
the podcast I got to get caught up with on the way. And of course, I didn't. I listened to music of the acts I was going to see, and then on the way home, listening to more of their music. And we can get an update from the mayor on where they are in the police chief search. There's an interesting article, speaking of things that we've been covering here in recent weeks, there's a very interesting article at NewBedfordLight.org where they look at the strain that'll now be put on the city's election office because the city council wouldn't vote to move up the date of the preliminary election. If you remember, the request had been to move it from October to September. New Bedford is now the only municipality in Massachusetts that is holding their preliminary election in October. So all of those reasons why the councilors gave you for not wanting to move it up, no other elected official in the Commonwealth felt like that was a reason to not move their own preliminary election date. And what was the reason that they gave more often than not? Because it would be confusing for voters. So your councilors apparently think less of you as an informed voter than any other municipality in all of Massachusetts. They think that you are so ill-informed that if they move the date, you would not know when to go vote in a preliminary election, even though the couple of thousand people that would actually go out and vote in that election are probably people who are going to be listening to the radio and hearing the candidate speak. They're probably going to be reading the newspaper, however much coverage that's going to have. They're going to be checking New Bedford Light, where they'll be, I'm sure, candidate profiles, and Jack will have chats with the candidates. And you will be engaged and you will be informed before you go and cast your vote. But you will not be informed enough to know that if the date had changed, that you would go in and vote in September instead of October. It's garbage. It's total garbage. It's total fabrications. They know that keeping the date where it is makes it easier for them to not be challenged. And Council President Burgo obviously will be with us on Monday. We didn't have it this week because of the holiday. But I'm going to get his reaction to this on Monday. You know, it'd be one thing when we were told most municipalities are moving back there, or moving up, rather, their preliminary election date. But now Colin Hogan's reporting at NewBedfordLight.org is that New Bedford is the only municipality still holding their preliminary election in October. And I don't mean this to be a slight against the New Bedford election office, but we know that there's been issues in that office and that they have been implementing a plan to try to avoid those issues. And as far as we can tell, the last couple of elections, they've done better. Well, certainly the presidential election in November, they did a lot better in overcoming some of those issues with their new approach. And now you're going to put extra strain on them? Because what? You can't pay attention to when a date change happens? You don't think there would have been plenty of advance notice? You don't think that the many candidates who come and buy advertising here on the station or take out ads in the newspaper or whatever else they might do wouldn't be emphasizing that date? You don't think they won't have those light up boards that they put in intersections? There would have been plenty of time to know. We're months away. Plenty of time to know that the date had changed. Just the less people vote, the easier it is for them to stay in power. The tighter that window, the less likely people are to come out and challenge them. That's all that it was. It was just an attempt to stay in power and not have to face a change, but try to make it as easy as possible to be reelected in November. And all of the people that listened to Chris McCarthy and called their counselor and said, vote against this. Don't let it happen. This is how they're trying to get people at sober houses to vote. This is how they're trying to get illegals to vote. All of you got duped. You got duped by people who wanted to make it easy for them to stay in power. This supposed groundswell of people who are like, we're tired of the regular politics. We're tired. We want something fresh and new and different. Well, you just fell for the oldest trick in the book. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. Let's take a phone call here. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. It's Mike Lima. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Could you tell me, because I'm not sure, how does moving the primary election up guarantee the incumbents to win and you don't have a good shot if you're running against them?
Other way around. So I think leaving it in October makes it easier for them.
Easier for the incumbents.
Yes.
I totally get it. So what does moving it up give the people who are running against them a better shot at beating them?
Or it just might make people want to be part of it, part of the process. It might make people want to actually come out and run, whereas now they're looking at, because if you read the reporting, it says, well, if there's a recount, it might be too close and there might not be enough time and all that. So people might look at that and say, you know what, it's too tight of a window. I'm not going to run this time.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I know for facts, because I've been involved in local politics for 55 years. I've run campaigns. I've looked at all the numbers. It doesn't change a thing about having a recall meeting. I was involved in one of the biggest recalls when George Smith beat Cynthia Kruger. It was done within days of the election. Didn't change a thing. You look at all the numbers. Between primaries and finals, very small movement percentage of votes change in that time. What changes is the fact that more people come out in the final election than in the primary to boost those numbers. But it doesn't change the overall factor of when those elections are held and how it's going to affect.
Well,
somebody who's running against an incumbent. Go ahead.
What it will do is it will also keep people from, you know, feeling like a mail-in ballot is a good idea because, again, these tight windows are part of the problem with that. So now people who would have voted that way might just decide not to vote at all.
First of all, I think mail-in ballots aren't the way to go, even though I know there's a lot of people who are shut in, things like that. So the absentee ballot has been around for a long period of time, but I'm telling you, from years of experience, it doesn't change a thing, so why change it? I'm just giving you my opinion like you're giving out your opinion.
Sure.
Today, and I appreciate the time, but I'm telling you, Tim, doesn't change a thing. If you look at the history of the council at large, 90, I forget what the exact number is,
So let me just ask you this, because I got to go to a break. But when you were involved in all those elections, did New Bedford have a 10% voter turnout in those preliminary elections, or did they do better than that?
They did 1,000 times better than that.
And that's the problem. That's why mail-in ballot has to happen, because you're not getting enough voter engagement as it is. So why not make it easier for people to vote?
You're not getting voter engagement because people are upset at the system. They're upset at these politicians when we tell them to scrutinize the budget and it passes,
but since,
and they don't do it.
But since they instituted mail-in voting, the numbers of participating voters have gone up. So doesn't that show that this is a way that they want to be able to vote?
That, yes, some people do want to vote that way. I agree with you 100%. I'm disabled. I'd like to be able to vote that way, but I don't. Okay, so I'm just telling you, I know from doing it for so long, it doesn't change. And I appreciate your time, and I appreciate the back-and-forth conversation without either one of us getting excited, which is great, because nowadays, when you talk politics, somebody's always wants to get in an argument. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You as well. And we can talk more about this, but I've got to get a break in here before the end of the hour. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. We do have the latest for you on that shooting that happened last night in New Bedford. It is now being investigated as a homicide after the victim, 21-year-old Kimberl Gideon, has passed away as a result of his injuries. We've got the details.